Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition to Disaster Preparedness. Sister Aziza?
Yes, ma'am.
Please call our brother. He says he's ready.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I will do.
People have no idea what you have to go through.
That's okay. All praise is due to Allah.
That's right. As our wonderful sister Aziza is doing the engineering piece and getting our brother on the line, I just want to welcome you in the greeting words of peace, paradise, and power of Assalamu Alaikum in the most holy name of Allah, God, who appears in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad. In the name of his divine Christ, he lives, he lives, he lives, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in the name of our rock reminder and our friend, Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan, I greet the guests of our wonderful show in the greeting words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa-alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. Go ahead, Brother Rudolph. You can take over.
Oh, no, man. Well, since you already opened up, I just want to say welcome to the show, brothers, sisters, friends, not-so-friends, those that are just stealing a hearing, those that are trying to get information, those that tune in because they just have nothing else to do, those that tune in to really try and get information. For whatever reason that you're tuning into the show, we thank you for tuning in, and we welcome you. I am Brother Rudolph Muhammad, and, of course, you have already heard from my most eloquent, educated, capable, wonderful, compassionate, enthusiastic, energetic, inspirational co-host, Sister Lachelle Muhammad. And, of course, you do realize that we are coming to you live from the Queendom on this planet Earth. Yes, yes, we are broadcasting to you, yes, over the airways of Blog Talk Radio, but we are in the realm of the Queendom. And so we thank the Queen for allowing us time and space in Her Majesty's Queendom to bring this information to you. And we thank you.
All praise to Allah.
I am a loyal subject in this here part of the earth. You know, I feel like the drawbridge just went up and the moat is around the castle. And, you know, we are in a very secure location to do our broadcast. We are untouched by the elements of nature. Yes. Yes. This week's show, I wanted to deal with is because people don't realize the actual day that today is and the date of today, of when it is, but more so than that, that we are right on the edge or the cusp of the 2015 hurricane season. So those of us on the East Coast are still in the process of recovering from Hurricane Sandy, and we are about to go into another hurricane season. So, you know, I just thought it would be very useful for us to bring this topic up today and to talk about it and see what it is that we can do to help the family to get better prepared for what is inevitable. So, Sister Lachelle, if you would, could you please give the family the call-in number and the instructions for those who are calling in?
Well, the best thing about this classroom is if you want to ask a question, if you want to make a comment, you have two ways to do it. Now, if you want to be mildly anonymous, you can do it online through our sister, Aziza. Will read your question and keep you as anonymous as possible. She won't out you. If you want to call, if you're on the line listening, however, and you don't care about being as anonymous, you can press the number 1 to raise your hand. Now, if you're on the line, of course, you already know what the call-in number is, but just in case you're listening via the website, the call number is 646-716-7216. 646-716-5971. That's 646-716-5971. And we would love to hear your voice. So please call in and press the number one so you can speak to Brother Rudolph.
Okay. So now that we have that out of the way, let me do my usual, okay? What I need at this point is I'm calling out to my peeps for some help. Yes. You know, I feel like Sweet Polly Purebred right now. Where has my underdog gone? You know, I'm calling out to my peeps for help. If you're in the 718, the 212, the 516, the 518, the 914, the 646, the 973, the 707, the 708, the 202, the 410, the 310, the 510, the 803, the 302, and the 812. I'll stop right there. Call in to 646-716-5971 and press the number one so that we can make this a discussion and not a monologue. Sister Lachelle, would you like to invite anyone in particular?
Yes, I would like to invite anyone from Michigan, number one, the great state of Michigan, and those include some of the area codes, like the 313, the 248, the 586. I would like anyone to call me from the 616. Feel free to call on in from the 721. I don't want you to feel left out. If you live anywhere in the great state of Michigan, please feel comfortable to call in, push the number one, and join in on this show. 810.
So, well, so now that everyone should, I feel like I'm in church and we just gave the welcome address for the program. You know, we welcome you once, we welcome you twice, we welcome you three times, and it doesn't cost a price. What we want you to do now is to go ahead and take this time to get a clean wall, use your refrigerator door, use your white shag carpet, use the plastic on your seat cushions, get your eyebrow pencil, get your lipstick, get your crayon, get your Sharpie marker, whatever it is that you use to write with. We're going to give you 30 seconds to get that stuff together, because there's a lot of information that we are going to be throwing at you in this particular show. Okay. Okay. All right. That should be about 30 seconds. Okay. The first thing that, we want to deal with is this day in history. Today is May 27th, I believe it is. Yes?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. And just some of the disasters that have happened on this date in history. In 2006 in Indonesia, there was an earthquake that was a 6.3 magnitude on the Richter scale. The earthquake in Indonesia in the city of, all right, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Y-O-G, all right, I'll spell it. It killed at least 5,800 people and left an estimated 1.5 million people homeless. In 2008 in China, okay, there was an earthquake, and it was a new series of aftershocks that measured as high as a 5.7. And this struck the area once again, destroying an additional 420,000 homes. The official death toll from that particular earthquake and aftershock from the original earthquake in Sichuan province was 67,183 people, with a further 20,000 missing. And that was the initial earthquake. Even before the new aftershocks, the latest estimates are that more than 5 million people were homeless. And again, that was before the aftershock. Christopher Reeves, the actor best known for Superman, was paralyzed when he was thrown from his horse during a jumping event in Charlottesville, Virginia. That was in 1995 on this day. And in 1997, a tornado Jarrell in Texas, a F5 tornado, winds greater than 260 miles per hour and almost 800 feet wide, strikes Jarrell, Texas, destroying the town and killing 27 people. So these are just some of the things that happened on this day in history. Aren't we glad we were not there back then? Now, where are you geographically? And what's going on in your particular area? As I said, we're on the cusp of the 2014 Atlantic hurricane season. And according to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, N-O-A-A, their predictions for the 2014-2015 hurricane season, mild to average. That's what they're saying. NOAA's Climate Prediction Center is forecasting a near normal or below normal hurricane season. The main driver of this year's outlook is the anticipated development of El Nino this summer. El Nino causes stronger wind shear, which reduces the intensity of tropical storms and hurricanes. El Nino can also strengthen the trade winds and increase the atmospheric stability across the tropical Atlantic, making it more difficult for cloud systems coming off of Africa into tropical storms. So in other words, what NOAA is predicting is that this hurricane season should not be that bad because of the development of El Nino, which is a natural occurring phenomenon which not prevents hurricanes from happening, but it makes it harder or more difficult for them to happen because of its effects on the atmospheric air and its ability to stabilize the atmospheric air. So we shall see. That's what NOAA calls for. But for those who are listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I don't think he agrees with NOAA because he told us to watch the weather. And each time he says watch the weather, something very catastrophic happens. But again, we'll see. For those who want to check for themselves, what you can do is you can go online for yourself to www.noaa.org. www.noaa.org, and you can look at the predictions for the 2014-2015 Atlantic hurricane season and how it stands to affect your geographic locations. Sister Michelle, can you just ensure that we get that website on the Chair Hewlett Detroit page?
Yes, sir. Can you give it one more time?
Yes, ma'am. It is www.noaa.
Now, that was easy.
I try to accommodate and make things as easy as possible in this class. Now, in the master's class, it becomes different. Okay, now, do we have any questions so far at this point before I go any further?
No, sir, not yet.
Okay.
Now, I guess I want to remind the listening audience, because we have an influx of new callers, of course, those of you who may have questions and you're on the phone lines, please press 1 on your dial pad, and Brother Rudolph or Sister Michelle will be more than happy to accommodate your question. But not right now, Brother Rudolph. I think everybody's kind of like me over here taking notes, just waiting.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, in that case, well, let's get on with the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see. Okay. All right, so now, let's go to this now. There's another, with this being the again, us on the cut of the hurricane season, it's important, since we are kind of ahead of the curve now, it's important that we prepare for the storm. So in preparing for the storm, there are some things that we need to do. Now, one of the major things that we need to do preparing for the storm is we need to get informed. And when I say get informed, what am I talking about? What we need to do is we need to take an assessment of our area and what the hazards and vulnerabilities are of our geographic area. What is more prevalent, what is more likely, what is more realistic to happen, and what the risk level is. Is the risk level none at all? Is it low? Is it moderate? Or is it high? So you, what you can do is, and again, I like to deal with practical application as though we are in a classroom and you are learning something from a classroom. So it's simple to do on a sheet of paper. Okay, you can just on the left side, you can actually fold a paper in three, into three columns. So let's take a second and fold your paper into three columns going the long way. Okay, now on the extreme left-hand side, let's list the natural hazards that we're talking about. Again, of course, we're talking about specifically hurricanes this week, but let's just list all of the hazards that we're talking about. We're talking about flood, hurricanes, thunderstorms and lightning. Number four, tornadoes. Number five, winter storms and extreme cold. Number six, extreme heat. Number seven, earthquakes. Number eight, volcanoes. number nine, landslide and mudslide. Number 10, tsunami. Number 11, fires. Number 12, wildfires. And those are our natural hazards. Now let's go to the next section, still on that same side, and let's list our technological hazards, because remember, we have three different types of hazards. You have natural, man-made, and technological. Those were the natural. Now the technological hazards. Hazmat incidents or hazardous material incidents. And number two in the technological hazards are nuclear power plants. Okay. Now, on the third section of that, man-made hazards, number one is explosions, biological threats. Number three are chemical threats. Number four are nuclear blasts. And number five are R as in Robert, D as in David, D as in David, RDD, which stands for radiological dispersion device, or bombs. Okay? So there we have our natural hazards, our technological hazards, and our man-made hazards. Now, in this next section, that's where we're going to assess a risk level to each of those hazards. So, again, starting back with your natural hazards of flood. And the way you're going to categorize it is it's either none, low, moderate, or high, where you live. Your geography and the history of the area that you live in. So, of course, this is not something that you can complete right now while we're on the phone talking. This is something that you're going to have to put some effort into and some research into, because you have to go and research some data to find out what the history of your area has been, what the predictions of your area are, and what the actual facts of your geographical location are. But this is just one type of chart. So with that being said, we're dealing with specifically hurricanes right now. So if you live on the coastal line of the United States, any of the coastal cities, then you can assess your hurricane hazard for being moderate or high. I just personally would say it's high if you live in any of the cities along the coastline, from Maine to Florida, from Florida across to New Mexico, from Mexico up the coast of California to Washington State. If you are in any of those states that touch those coastal areas, assess your threat level or risk level as high. Third section of your chart is, how can I reduce my risk? That's where you are going to put your mitigation plan, M-I-T-I-G-A-T-I-O-N, your mitigation plan into effect. All right, listeners, that's the first thing. Now, the next thing is, in your mitigation plan should consist warning systems and signals. how would you know if you were in harm's way? Are there warning systems set up in your area? Do you know how to access them? And do you know how to deal with them and what they need? Now, if you are dealing with NOAA, Weather Radio, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, they have designated weather on certain radio devices that 24/7 give nothing but information on what's going on. So the two things that you need to be aware of and know the differences between a warning and a watch. A warning is just that. It's a warning. It's imminent. It's telling you to either evacuate or bunker down. It's telling you that this thing that you were expecting or that you were watching is happening as we speak. How close it's going to come to you is still optional or arbitrary at best, but you need to prepare yourself for the worst. And it tells you what you need to do. That's your warning. The other thing is a watch. A watch means thing is on the horizon that could go either way, and it's being monitored as we speak, and updates will be forthcoming. So you need to know the difference between a watch and a warning. Sister Lachelle, would you like to say anything at this point?
I don't live in a hurricane area. I live in the Midwest, but my brother lives in Slidell, Louisiana, and
right.
He was faced with Hurricane Katrina. And even though he lived in Slidell, which is kind of inland, he still lost a roof off his house, tree uprooted in his front yard. And to this day, nearly 10 years later, there are still parts of New Orleans that when we drive through them, it looks like the hurricane just hit 6 months ago. It takes, you know, the hurricanes are so powerful that they just tear stuff up. And it's still, you know, there's some parts you go in and they look good, but like in his fiance's neighborhood, she lives in the Ninth Ward. Like, her house is the only, like, her house and maybe two others on the block. Well, this was a thriving neighborhood where she lived before. So hurricanes, you know, talk about a force of nature. You know, they even had, you know, flood insurance. They had hurricane insurance, and they still had a hard time trying to recoup their losses. Both of them are well-educated people, and there are so many loopholes, you know, with the insurance companies and so many little slick ways they try not to pay you. So even if you do everything right, you can still have a really hard time trying to recover from something like a hurricane. It's a shame that they named them after women, and they didn't before 1950. Hurricanes weren't named after anybody, male or female. They were just, you know, category this, category that. They were named, you know, by their destructive power. In the 1950s, as women got more rights, they started naming hurricanes after women, calling them unstable and unpredictable creatures. So they started naming them after women. As women got more power politically and socially, now as you notice, the hurricanes have been named after men and women almost equally. So it, you know, definitely is a force of nature. And we know Mother Nature is definitely a woman, but, you know, God has his destructive will and his creative will. So both sides are of the same coin, and God definitely does what he pleases. That's why even in the insurance game, they call some things the act of God. There's just nothing you can do to get in front of a hurricane, Brother Rudolph.
Yes, ma'am. And now to bear her witness to what she's saying, since she brought this up, for the historians that are on the line, naming of the hurricane. Since 1953, Atlantic tropical storms have been named from lists originated by the National Hurricane Center and now maintained and updated by an international committee of the World Meteorological Organization. The list featured only women's names until 1979. After that, men's and women's names were alternated. Six lists are used in rotation. Thus, the 2001 list will be used again in 2007. And so the original list from 2001 used in 2007, then that list is what will be used this year in 2014. Only time there is a change in the list is if a storm is so deadly or costly that the continued use of the name would be inappropriate for reasons of sensitivity. Now they want to be safe. When this occurs, the name is stricken from the list and another name is selected to replace it. Sometimes names are changed. Lorenzo replaced Lewis and Michelle replaced Marilyn. Found at NOAA.gov under storm names. So again, if you want to go and research this for yourself to see that that's not something that she just picked up and, you know, and just threw out there out of some defense mechanism or femininity or something like that, people that are on the line, go to www.nhc.noaa.gov under storm name, and you can see that she was telling the truth about the hurricane being named after women after 1953. I told you I got your back. And, yeah, I'm your teammate. I'm your teammate.
And Brother Rudolph, I do have some of the names from this for this year, and it seems like, I mean, some of these I've never heard of before because they seem to be more Spanish, and I've been around a little bit, and I've never heard some of these names.
Queen. Can you read them all? But then also, after you read them, can you send them to Sister Lachelle so we can put them on the website so that the listeners can get here for themselves?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But yeah, go ahead.
Well,
let's read them all.
Well, the names that they have lined up for 2014 for the men, and they go back and forth, starting with Arthur, then Bertha, then Cristobal, and Dolly, then Edward, which is not the Edward, but is Edward, E-D-O-U-A-R-D, which is a Spanish version of Edward. And then you have Faye as a woman. Then they go back to Gonzalo, which I've never heard before. Then they go to Hannah for the woman. Then Isaiah for the man, then Josephine, Kyle for the man, Laura for the woman, Marco for the man, Nana for the woman, and really Nana in Nigerian, in Igbo, means junior to a senior father. So I don't know where to get that from. And then Omar for a man. And then Paulette for a woman, Teddy for a man, Sally for a woman, and Vicky for a woman, and Wilfred for a man. So they are estimating that they're going to have more male tornadoes than female tornadoes. And Sister Lachelle, I'll definitely
post that list in disaster preparedness for everybody to see if you're interested in the list of the names of the storms that they are predicting to occur in 2014. Sister Lachelle, that's a lot of hurricanes. And these are the ones that are specifically coming out of the Atlantic. This has nothing to do with the Indian Ocean, nothing to do with the Eastern Pacific Coast. This is strictly just the Atlantic region. So, wow.
Thank you, Queen. I wonder if the compilation of the more Latin or Spanish names has to do with the phenomenon of El Nino this particular year that they're expecting. I don't know.
You know, they can't predict the weather anymore. they can't predict the weather.
You know
Allah is in control. Allah is in control.
That's
all I'm going to say.
You know that. I know that. And any rightly guided thinking individual that's on the line knows that. But those that still remember, when you're telling the story, you get to tell it any way that you want to tell it. It's like a Quentin Tarantino film. You'll have three different versions of the same story going on at the same time.
Yes, sir.
This is the alternative ending part on EDD. So, family, there's some more information for you. That you can put into your memory bank to utilize at your discretion at your own time to help educate you to another side and another phenomenon that we deal with where the weather is concerned or where disasters are concerned. Since we're talking about disasters, I know I said that we wanted to focus particularly on hurricanes, but we'll get to that. But I just want to talk about disaster theories because earthquakes are another type of disaster that we really don't have any defense against. But what you need to know is that, now, again, remember, there's a part of the world that ahead of us. So as I'm giving this information, it's because of that reason that I'm able to report it the way that I'm reporting it, because there are some places that are 12 hours ahead, that 8 hours ahead, you know, and stuff like that. So this stuff is already different. So in a certain portion of the world where it's already May 28th, at 1:33 a.m., there was a 2.7 magnitude. Strange part about that is that it affects a province in Alaska. Now, how would I know that? And this is only the 27th where we are. Yeah, things to make you go, Okay, in California, 1, 2, 3, 4. In 4 different areas in California, there have been earthquakes, from 2.5, 0.0, a 2.3, and a 2.2 on the Richter scale. In Nevada, a 2.6. Again, in California, 2.3. In Oklahoma, a 2.8. In Nevada, a 2.5. In the Dominican Republic, a 3.5. In San Juan, the Dominican Republic, a 3.0. In the British Virgin Islands, a 2.5. And I'll just stop. There's more. In Puerto Rico, yesterday, that was a 2.8 in Vanati. Again, these are just some disasters that have gone on or are going on as we speak. I, again, know about these things because I'm plugged into certain website certain intel that gives me a running total on what's going on, again, only because this is the profession that I am in. So,
okay, Brother Rudolph.
Yes,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Are you moving around? Because we're getting some static. Is that you?
Actually, yes, I was. I'm stationary.
We're having difficulty hearing you, so I just...
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, I'm back stationary. Okay. Now, let us go to... Let's go back to preparing for the storm. Okay, so we talked about doing the assessment and making sure that we knew what the hazards were, and we did our own self-analysis to put them in a risk level, and then we'll decide how we're going to deal with it. We talked about warning systems and how would we know if something was happening and what should we do. Again, the warning system is either we're going to deal with the EAS system, which is the emergency alert system, or we're going to deal with NOAA weather radio system. But you need to be dealing with one or the other, so that you can get up-to-date information on whatever it is that's still affecting your area. I know all of you listen to the radio or watch TV, and I know back in my day, we used to have it on a regular basis where it used to say that this is an emergency system broadcasting in your area, have come up with this system to let you know in the event of a natural emergency what you would do, and then it goes beep, and then it comes back and says this was only a test. Well, I don't hear where they do that too much anymore, at least here where I am. Now, I know in Florida they have a 24-hour dedicated church or station that deals with nothing but disaster preparedness all day long. But again, in my area, I don't see that to where that's happening. And,
okay, Brother Rudolph.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Rudolph. I'm sorry, we're having some difficulty with your phone. We hear a lot of static.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, I just retested the line. It is your phone.
Okay, all right. Okay, what about me?
Okay, can you come in one more time?
What about now?
You're perfect. Thank you, sir. Yes.
Okay, that was my headset. Okay, all right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now, now let's, so we talked about the warning system, so you need to be involved or have access to one of the other type of warning systems so you can get up-to-date information. Now you need to make a plan for you and your family. Everyone in the family needs to know what the plan is, and you need to rehearse the plan. So that's the next step that everyone needs to do at this point before the hurricane season kicks in. So in making the plan, what are some of the things that you want to know? Does your community have a plan? Okay? Your children go to schools in the area. What is the school's contingency or the school's plan? What is the plan if you're at work? What's the plan if you're at your house of worship? If you're out shopping? If you're at a recreation event? What are you going to do if it happens while you're there? These are some of the questions that you need to ask yourself and answer. Okay? Am I going too fast?
No, sir, not yet.
No.
But we got some questions, but go ahead.
Oh, no. Let's take the I'll stop here. Let's take the questions, whatever questions we have.
Okay, we got a question out of the chat room from Regina. And she wants to know, do hurricanes and tornadoes start at the same time? Or can they start at the same time? I'm sorry.
Okay, can hurricanes and tornadoes start at the same time? I'm going to say yes, they can, because they're emanating from different places. Remember, a tornado is generally inland. Like Sister Lachelle made it perfectly clear that she is not in a hurricane geographic location. Okay, she made that inequivocally clear. She's not on the coast, but she is inland. So she could be vulnerable to a tornado at the same time a hurricane was going on here on the East Coast.
Hmm.
So that's the way I will answer that question.
Yes, and lucky Sister Lachelle, because I'm down here in Texas and we get everything. Okay?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So now, Kyra has a question. She says, what are some of the things that you need to do to prepare your home in the event of a hurricane?
Oh, okay. Well, I like that question right there. Preparing your home. Number one, and I always go to this first just because of the nature of who I am and what I do. Where you live at, do you have a hot water heater, a furnace, or a boiler? If you have a hot water heater, is it freely standing in the basement, or is it secured to the wall? By securing straps. The furnace, is it encased in its own room or is it just freely standing in the basement and open to the larger area of the basement? Same thing for the boiler. Play because in the event of the house shaking or the foundation moving, that hot water tank can break loose, the furnace can move, or the boiler can move, and that can cause either a water leak, a gas leak. It can cause a carbon monoxide release of gas. There are a number of things that can happen from that. Of course, and the obvious is fire. So that's why I'm asking those questions. Your utilities, water, electricity, and gas. Do you know where the shutoff valves are? And do you have the tool, the wrench, that's necessary to shut them off if you need to secure them? And do you know how to do it? So those are some other questions for securing your home. Now, once you're in the home itself, what are some of the things that you need to have in order to help you? In a watertight container, if you're talking about inside the home, you should have your copies of your personal identification. That includes your credit cards, your insurances, some cash, you know, small denominations of dollar bills as well as coins, extra sets of keys, whether to the house or the car, copies of your birth certificate, marriage certificate, driver's license, social security cards, passports, wills, deeds, inventory of house goods, insurance papers, immunization records, bank and credit card accounts and numbers, stocks and bonds, emergency contact lists and phone numbers, maps of the area and phone numbers of places to go. All of these kinds of things should be in a watertight supply-wise. You should have water, drinking water. Again, at least 1 gallon of drinking water per person that resides in that house. Ready-to-eat meals. Canned or boxed juices, soups, foods, stuff that, again, are readily available to be eaten that do not require cooking. High-energy foods, such as those protein bars, granola bars, trail mix, you know, low-sodium crackers, things like that, things that will are high in protein that can give you energy quickly, not necessarily to fill you up like you're eating a Thanksgiving meal. Whatever medications people in the house need, your vitamins and supplements, special foods if you have infants or people who are special needs people, the things that they're going to need. Cookies, hard candy, instant coffee, cereals, powdered milk, these types of things should all be stored in a watertight container. Clothing for every member of the family, so that you will have spare clothing and dry clothing, equipment and tools, portable battery-operated radios or hand-crank radios or solar-powered radios. If you're using battery-operated stuff, making sure that you have an ample supply of extra batteries. Of course, your NOAA radio with the designated weather channel, flashlights with extra batteries, signal flares, waterproof matches, again, tools to shut off your utilities, a shovel in case nature needs to make a call, bags in order to help with the hygiene from nature making its call, duct tape, scissors, plastic sheeting, a whistle, a fire extinguisher or a couple of fire extinguishers of the ABC type, all-purpose fire extinguishers, a tube tent is a simple tent that's just for shelter for you and the members of your family. A compass, work gloves, paper, pens and pencils, needles and thread, battery-operated travel alarm clock. Kitchen items, a manual can opener, a mess kit, that's military terminology, simply meaning paper cups, plates, utensils, stuff like that to eat with and off, all-purpose knife, household liquid bleach to treat drinking water if you need to, but also for sterilization purposes, condiments, sugar, salt, pepper, aluminum foil or plastic wrap, reusable plastic bags, a small a Coleman stove, a hibachi, a propane stove, a Sterno stove, those cans of Slurnos are excellent to have, and they're very light and economical. Comfort items, board game, magnetic board games, deck of cards, books, or something to occupy one's mind. Toys for the children. Supplies from the medical nature. Aspirin or non-aspirin pain relievers, talking about NSAIDs, anti-steroidal inflammatory drugs, things that are going to reduce fever, things that are going to reduce pain that are not necessarily of prescription nature, anti-diarrhea medication, antacid medication for people with upset stomachs and heartburn, laxatives, vitamins, your prescriptions, extra eyeglasses if you need them, for your asthmatics, an extra asthma inhaler for your COPD patients that use metered-dose inhalers. You need those. Medication for allergies, whether it's Benadryl or Claritin or Zyrtec or Epins. Sanitation and hygiene supplies, liquid soap, washcloths, towels, or handy wipes, the wipes that are necessary, whether they're baby wipes, diapers if you have children, diapers for adults if you need them, towelettes, hand sanitizer, toothbrush and toothpaste, shampoos, combs, brushes, deodorants, sunscreens, shaving razors, lip balm, insect repellent, contact lens solution, mirrors, feminine supplies, toilet tissue, again, a shovel for digging in case you have to go to the latrine, disinfectant for household chlorine bleach, disinfectant in or household chlorine bleach. A medium-sized bucket with a tight lid. Heavy-duty plastic, like I said, duct tape, and things of that nature. And then, of course, a first aid kit in order to deal with bleeding, bandaging, or splinting of broken bones. So those are just some of the items that you should have on hand in your house for any type of disaster. And then to match what you have in your house, you need to have a go bag with similar of those items around so that in case you have to leave your house, you can leave with some of that stuff intact also. So I know that was a long-winded answer to that question, but Queen, I hope we covered it.
Oh, I think you more than covered it, dear brother. All praises due to Allah. Okay, we're going to take a phone call from my neck of the woods. Since none of y'all people calling in, Detroit, New York, misrepresenting us in there, even though they all on the phone, Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle, but Texas going to step us to the plate, so. Area code 832. Your mic is live, dear brother.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam.
This is Brother Kenyon in Houston. I just want to kind of add on to what the brother was saying in terms of getting ready for a hurricane. And this, I just kind of want to deal specifically with your home dwelling and getting that prepared. One of the things that a lot of people don't think about is the fact that, especially if you have children or things like that, your backyard is basically a weapons bin. Because once those winds start kicking up, you know, Category 1, Category 2, or whatever else it may be, anything in your backyard could become a flying missile. And so one of the things you want to do is when the hurricane is coming, you want to clear out your backyard and your front yard. Now, this also includes water hoses, anything else that's not structurally tied down. Because once the winds kick up, those items that's in your backyard that's not tied down and put away, they can become tools and either, you know, damage your house or damage your neighbor's house or whatever the case may be. So that's one of the first things you should do is you find out that a hurricane is coming to your city. Get all the loose debris, you know, out of your backyard, front yard, things like that. If you have a wooded fence, like most of us in Houston do, want to take off every other board. A lot of people take off maybe all of their boards, you know, because they don't want their fence to get blown down, but that's not really necessary. If you just take off every other board, that will allow the wind to pass through without knocking your fence down. So when you come back, you'll still have your fence intact and things like that. The next thing is, sorry, say it again, sir.
Oh, I said excellent tip. Excellent.
Okay, yes, sir. The next thing in terms of your windows, a lot of people like to tape their windows up and things like that. You're basically wasting money and wasting your time by taping your windows because, you know, in Houston especially, our homes and things like that, the businesses, those windows are hurricane rated, I think, to Category 2, but don't quote me on that. But I do know that they are hurricane rated. So it's not necessary for you to tape your window. Now, once you get to a Category 3, 4, 5, tape is not going to stop your window from shattering anyway. So, again, you're wasting your time taping your windows up. Now, if you want to board your windows, now, that could help to save your windows and things like that. But as far as taping it, that's not necessary. There was something else I was going to say about the windows. Oh, seals. You want to get some door seals and some window seals because that the high winds are going to push the water at the bottom of your doors and through the bottoms of your windows. So you might want to invest in getting some door seals and some window seals, or if not, if that's too expensive, maybe go and get some absorbent padding because it is going to leak in your house. No matter how, you know, how new your home is and how tight it is, airtight, things like that, once you get that 100, 200-mile-an-hour wind, it's going to push the water through those little crevices that's in your door, under your door, and in your windows and things like that. So I just want to kind of add to that, brother. You gave some good information as far as the medicine is concerned and having extra supplies and things like that, but I just kind of wanted to add a few things. I've been in Houston all my life, so, you know, you pick up little tricks of the trade along the way in terms of getting your...
Man, I appreciate you helping out because I don't know what happened to all my folks here on the East Coast. They just left me stranded. But I'm glad that I got family all over the planet Earth.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Crazy be to a lot.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll praise the truth a lot. Thank you, dear brother. Okay, let me remind the rest of you who acting shy and high-siding. That might be a southern term, high-siding. Y'all can press one of y'all dial pad and ask a question. And Brother Rudolph, you know, Brother mentioned some categories of hurricanes, and I wanted to share that with the listening audience. Do you mind?
Oh, no, of course not. Go right ahead, Queen.
Okay. Well, as far as we know, you know, Allah God knows all, but as far as we know on a analytical type of information, there are five categories of hurricanes. And
yes,
I think, and I want people to take notes because this can determine how much preparation that you make and whether or not you need to plan to evacuate, which is the next question from Brother Marcus, but I'm going to read his entire comment. Category one, it says that the winds, this is the winds that come along with the rain and the water, 74 to 95 miles per hour. That's a category one. A category two is 96 to 110 miles per hour. And category three is 111 to 130 miles per hour. And a category four is 131 to 155 miles an hour. And, of course, category five is 156 miles per hour and beyond. And so those are some pretty, even category one to me, 95 miles an hour, that's a heck of a win. And so pretty sure all of these winds are very dangerous, and they can cause significant damage. I can bear witness to that, because as I was sharing with you all last time about that tree that actually fell on the house, this was a big, strong oak tree. I mean, this tree was as solid as concrete as far as I was concerned, and it broke like a toothpick. And I don't know how strong the winds were for Hurricane Alicia, but I know it was strong enough to break that tree. And I would say, if I had to guess on a measurement, that that tree in its circumference was at least maybe 7 to 8 feet. This was a huge, huge old tree. And take maybe three adult people being over 5 feet tall to wrap their arms around this tree. It was a big tree. And so I don't know. I'll look it up later and share with you the information on Hurricane Alicia. But winds are very, very dangerous. They can get very intense. I know oftentimes during hurricane season, we often see news reporters out there, and it seems like they're actually being blown away. We've actually had people who, you know, were what they call them, thrill seekers, that would go out on the beach during a hurricane, and they would walk on these rocks and that lead out to the water, and they would actually get swept away by the water, or the wind would blow them into the water. And so that is another thing that is a not to do, is to be so curious that you want to get caught up in the wind and you want to experience the rain and the tides and the waves. That is not the thing to do. We have lost many people just from exposure in the Houston-Galveston area to the circumstances of a hurricane. And I just wanted to add that, Brother Rudolph, and to go to Brother Marcus's question, because he said that him and his family were a victim of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And so he, you know, of course, you know, I don't think the people got a sufficient amount of warning. So he wants to know, depending on the category of hurricane that is predicted in a hurricane warning or a hurricane watch, when should people consider evacuating, even if they don't receive that news on a public announcement?
Okay, that's a good question. And now I'm going to speak from the perspective of a responder. Immediately when you realize that you are in over your head, you should be thinking about evacuating. Now, what would make you think that you're in over your head? Common sense. What happens is people get lulled into a false sense of security because they got the warning to evacuate the last time, and they rolled it out, and nothing happened. And remember back 2 years ago when we had that storm and everything was there and we sat here and nothing happened. And remember back when Granddaddy told us, you know, no, we're not going to, we just did that, yada, 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 and nothing happened. And this time it wipes out the whole entire family. Every time you go through a different situation with a natural disaster, no time is like the last one, because nature is its own entity, and nature does what it wants to do, when it wants to do it. It doesn't consult with you or I. So you have to think in terms of what is more important, and that's where people get what they call, what we call, people start doing the shuffle. Should I stay or should I go? And those critical moments that they are hemming and hawing and doing the shuffle end up being the critical moments that cause lives to be lost. At the very instant that you think, or that it pops into your head, I should evacuate, then if you're asking the question, you already have your answer. Remember, always go with your first mind. Because your first mind is the mind of God. That's your self-accusing spirit speaking to you directly. That second thought, the other thought that's trying to silence that self-accusing spirit and trying to get you to rationalize, and that's generally the one that gets you and I in trouble. So go with your first mind. Queen, that's the way I'm going to answer that.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. And Tony J wants to know, how do you sign up to be a part of a rescue team? He say he's not a firefighter, but he loves to help.
Okay. Here's the best way that you can help, Tony J. One, become as knowledgeable as you can as a civilian about whatever the incident is. And go right to the internet. Go right to the website. You can get all the information you can. How many of your neighbors, friends, and family do not have as much information as you have? Pass that information on. Two, the area that you live in, is there a team of people who are prepared to help others in the case of an emergency? If not, create one. And how do you create it? By finding other people like-minded to yourself who want to do the same thing and try and ensure that everybody gets through the emergency successfully. Three, get training. There are ways that you can get the necessary training that you can qualify yourself to become a rescuer in your particular area. Go to Sister Lachelle. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to let you answer this part of Tony J's request to learn how he can help by getting the information to us so that we can go to where he is.
Yes, I would like for you to email me at Care Unit Detroit, all together, 911, Care Unit Detroit, 911 at live.com. That's Care Unit Detroit at live.com. Email me. Let me know where you are, and we will work it out to get a team to your area to do some disaster preparedness and healthcare training to help you right where you are. Or if you have access to Facebook, we have a Facebook page, Care Unit Detroit, 911. We have a Facebook page. You can also go to the website, which is www.careunitdetroit.weebly.com, Care Unit Detroit at weebly.com. And you can go to that website, and on the website, it has a form where you can fill it out if you would like the disaster preparedness team to come to your area. And we also do healthcare certifications because you may be looking for the big disaster, but it's a small disaster that can be a small disaster. The rest of it could be the big one for you. You know, your child, you know, gets hurt. You get hurt. It could be a disaster that's just personal, that if you have the right training, you can save a life or while you're waiting for the ambulance, someone could die. You don't have time for someone to stop breathing to call 911 because unless the ambulance is on your block, vital organs are losing oxygen. Critical moments are being lost. So just knowing how to do CPR for your family can prevent a disaster in your own life. Knowing how to do the choking procedure can prevent a disaster in your own life. So please go to the email, go to the website, inbox me on Facebook or inbox, well, no, don't inbox Brother Bruno because it'd be a while for that. Send all of your emails to me, and I'll make sure Brother Rudolph gets your message, and you will be responded to in 24 hours or less. I guarantee you I don't leave any messages for Brother Rudolph or for the Care Unit Detroit team left unanswered. I can guarantee you all emails are responded to in 24 hours or less.
Thank you so much, Sister Lachelle. Queen, that's the answer for Brother Tony J.
Okay. All right. Well, those are all the questions right now. So those of you who are just now joining us and if any of you in the chat room have any more questions, please type them in. Please press one on your dial pad, and we'll be more than happy to take your questions. But that's it for right now, Brother Rudolph. I think they're waiting to take more notes because I know I need some more paper.
Okay. Sister Lachelle, while you were talking, I was posting something on the Care Unit site. Can you check that and just ensure that Queen gets set to go on the disaster preparedness site where I listed the five categories and the wind speeds and the names or the damage, whether it was minimal, moderate, extensive, extreme, was from minimal to catastrophic. Talking about, I'm going to try and get this other stuff to you by the time we finish the broadcast so you can really get everything on there.
Yeah, that's
okay. So now, let's see, where were we? All right, so again, we're talking about hurricanes, okay? Hurricanes. Some terms that you need to know. Okay, some of the terms you need to know. One, tropical depression. Someone is,
I think that must be Sister Lachelle's phone. Okay, I had to mute. I'm going to unmute her, but go ahead, Brother Rudolph.
Okay. Tropical depression. A tropical depression is an organized system of clouds and thunderstorms with a defined surface circulation and maximum sustaining winds of 38 miles per hour, which is equivalent to 33 knots or less. Sustained winds are defined as 1 minute average wind measured at about 33 feet or 10 meters above the surface. So that's a tropical depression. A tropical storm is an organized system of strong thunderclouds or thunderstorms with a defined surface circulation and maximum sustained winds of 39 to 73 miles per hour, which is 34 to 63 knots. The reason that you're getting miles per hour and knots is because these particular terms have to do with their nautical terms, or they have to do with water. So they have to do with you being out on water for all of my boating, yachting, aquatic type people. A hurricane is an intense tropical weather system of strong thunderstorms with a well-defined surface circulation of maximum sustained winds of 74 miles per hour, 64 knots or higher. Storm surge is a dome of water pushed onshore by a hurricane or a tropical storm winds. Storm surges can reach 25 feet high and be 50 to 100 miles wide. Storm tide. Storm tide is a combination of storm surge and the normal tide. Hurricane or tropical storm watch. We talked about the watch. We talked about the warning. And you just need to know the difference between the two. So those are just some terms that you need to deal with. Now, the other area or the other, the other area of concern outside of the hurricanes are, of course, thunderstorms and lightning storms. Thunderstorms and lightning storms are very dangerous because, again, thunderstorms and lightning storms can kill you very quickly. All thunderstorms are dangerous. Every thunderstorm produces lightning. In the United States, an average of 300 people are injured and 80 people are killed each year by lightning. Although most lightning victims survive, people struck by lightning often report a very long-term debilitating symptom. Other associated dangers of thunderstorms include tornadoes for you inland people, strong winds, hail, and flash flooding. Flash flooding is responsible for more fatalities, more than 140 annually, than any other thunderstorm-associated hazard. And then you have dry thunderstorms that do not produce rain that reaches the ground are most prevalent in the western United States. Falling raindrops evaporate, but lightning can still reach the ground and can start wildfires. So in your more arid climate, in your in the Midwest to the western states, that's where you will have those dry thunderstorms. So you need to be on the lookout for the thunderstorms also and the lightning as well as the hurricanes because, again, recapping, the thunderstorms may be a prelude to the tornado, especially when you see the green cloud and then the funnel producing and then touching down. Okay, Sister Michelle, would you like to add anything to any of that that we have spoken about?
No, I guess the only thing that I would add, because you gave a very comprehensive list, would be to make sure that we practice all these things with the children. Don't underestimate the children. You know, show them what goes in a go bag, show them what's in your bag. Show them where the water is. Show them where to turn the power off. You know, show them where the water, the hot water tank is. Everything that you would do to secure the house, even the brother who called in spoke about taking every other plank out the wood fence, clearing the backyard of toys because they become projectiles. Have the children participate because, God forbid, you could get injured right off the rip, you know. And if you're hurt and you can't do those things, they need to know what to do. So I would suggest drills,
regular drills with the family where you go out and just clear the backyard, secure everything in the garage, secure the garage door so it won't open, that you teach them how to, you know, dress a wound, how to get the bandages out and the dressing out, and show them what to do in the event that you can't do it for yourself. So I would just like to mention that we don't forget to train the children, we don't forget to teach the children, and we do not forget to have something to entertain them, because there's nothing more irritating than being locked in a place and having the children say, how much longer, how much longer, how much longer. So find things for them to do and practice that also when nothing's wrong. On a good day, when there's nothing going on, practice with them, no, go in your room and quiet yourself, or go in that area of the house, or go and just sit right there on the couch and quiet yourself, and teach them how to quiet themselves and entertain themselves with no television. You know, you can't go outside. Nobody's texting. Nobody's on a tablet. Everybody's just sitting. Teach them ways to soothe themselves that don't include electronic devices, so they're already used to it. When a problem comes and you have to bunker down, this is not the end of the world to them, because they can't play Candy Crush. So I just always like to make sure that we include the children as a factor in our disaster preparedness.
Thank you very much for that. And while you're speaking on that, I want you to put your other hat on, and I want you to give the family, which you did, you talked about it toward the end, but I also want you to give them some other ways that they can, where psychological first aid is concerned, for themselves or members of their family who are going through the disaster with them. What are some of the things that people can do to maintain their own sanity while going through some of these disasters? And you touched on some of them, but are there other things that people who are not professional healthcare providers can do for the people that are around them?
Yes, sir. One thing I would suggest right off the rip, you know, and I did touch on it earlier, the whole family can go and take a class. Instead of spending one of your Saturday afternoons going to the movies, going to the mall, going visiting, go to your local Red Cross, your local training center, where you can go and get some training on how to do CPR first aid, or plan the weekend for Brother Rudolph and the team to come in and do some training there too. Even now, while things are quiet, while things are good, as I said, teach and train. Do the drills. You know how when you were in school, they did a fire drill every quarter? Well, they legally mandated they had to do those fire drills to prove that you know how to exit the building safely. Have you done those same drills with your family? Do you have a two-story home? Do you have a ladder that you can hang out the window, drop down, and can your children actually navigate that ladder? Have you ever practiced with them climbing down that rope ladder from that second story? Because you just don't know where you have to get out the house. Don't buy equipment and you never use it. All your disaster stuff all packed up so nice in the closet. Don't nobody even know how to get it out of there. You got it packed up so tight. Do you ever take it out and practice? So that's something else that you want to do, is practice. And my third on my top three list of things that everybody should do now in a time of peace and quiet is let your children lead the prayer at home. Let them lead the prayer now. Teach them how to pray now. Teach them how to dress wounds now. Teach them how to soothe the adults now. You might have a bad day. When you're having a bad day now, tell your child what to do or what not to do when mommy or daddy or auntie is having a bad day, so that they're prepared to soothe you. You never know who will be the comforter. You never know who will be the doctor. You'll never know who will be the patient. But practice all the different roles. But you definitely want to teach your children how to pray, how to lead a prayer, how to pray for you as you pray for them. Those will be my top three on the hit list, Brother Rudolph.
Thank you so much, Sister Lachelle, for that. Let me read this to the family.
And you do have some more questions when you're done, Brother Rudolph.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Chapter 54 in the wonderful book, The Fall of America. the calamity. The title of this chapter is taken from the Holy Quran, chapter 101, verses 1 through 4. The calamity. What is the calamity? And what will make thee know how terrible the calamity is? I'm going to stop there. Again, Holy Quran, Surah 103 is what you should read. The calamity. And the reason that I interjected that now is because the shock of the hour is a grievous thing. And what will the shock of the hour be? Well, the shock of the hour can be many things for different people, but what you need to realize is that whatever that shock of the hour is going to be, it's going to be so awe-inspiring that it's going to upset your very foundation. And the question is, if you are not mentally able to calm or steady yourself, then what's going to happen to you and what's going to happen to all of those who depend on you for guidance, right guidance, and making sound decisions and judgment. Okay, let's go to whatever other questions we have in these last few minutes.
Okay, we got a question from, his screen name is D72, and he wants to know, what is the difference between a hurricane and a typhoon and a cyclone and a tornado?
Oh, boy. Okay. let me see how I'm going to this correlation. How I'm going to make this correlation. Okay. A typhoon is a mature tropical cyclone that develops in the western part of the North Pacific Ocean between 180 degrees and 100 degrees east. All right. This particular region, okay, that a typhoon develops in is not the same as the region that we are in right now. So that's the one thing that you need to know. Depending on where you are on the planet, similar instances may be called by different names because of the characteristics that they take on and because of the language that is the prevailing language in that part of the planet. For instance, a cyclone, a violent tropical storm or a cyclone, these things happen where? In the China Seas, in the Western Pacific, and, you know, off the coast of India. All right, so again, now you're talking cyclone and you're talking typhoon. What is the difference between that and hurricanes? You're talking winds, you're talking technical differences now. Wind speed, point of origin, and location is the basic differences. I think that's the best way I can answer that question in such a short period of time. Queen?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, yes, sir. And, oh, shoot. My screen went blank. Okay. Charles wants to know, true that all hurricanes begin on the coast of Africa and follow the African slave trade route? That's what he said.
That is an excellent question. What's his name, Charles?
I'm sorry?
His name is Charles?
Charles, yes.
Yes, sir. Brother Charles, that's an excellent question, and that is what we are told. But again, that's those hurricanes that are coming off of from the continent of Africa. And this is why I specifically said when we started, we were talking about the Atlantic hurricane season, because different points of origin, okay? But what we are taught is, yes, the more violent and the more unpredictable and the more damaging hurricanes, yes, have that point of origin that come off of the coast of the continent of Africa and follow the route of the North Atlantic slave trade. Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, well, that's our last question so far, Brother Rudolph.
Oh,
unless,
okay.
Of course, those of you on the phone want to press one on your dial pad. And I see St. Louis is out there representing real hard, and Illinois. I forgot what part of Illinois, but I know that's Illinois, Arizona, L.A. I think that's Albuquerque. We would love to hear from y'all. Okay, go ahead, Brother Rudolph.
Well, at this point, let me turn this over to my wonderful, capable co-host and let her say whatever it is she has to say, and she can then say anything that she wants to advertise, anything she wants to advertise, speak about any event that may be coming up, and she can give her closing remarks. Then I'll come back with mine, and then we'll turn it back over to you, Queen. So, Miss Sister Lachelle?
Well, I guess what I would start with, and thank you, Brother Rudolph, as we close down the last 15 minutes of the show. Wow, the time goes by so fast. You know, on the front end, it seems like 2 hours, and on the back end, it seems like we have 15 minutes. So as we're closing out the show, if I can leave anything on people's minds, if I could make an advertisement or a suggestion or a commercial for anything, it would be that you go out and make it your business that before the season is upon you, that you go get some kind of training, that you don't wait and be bunkered down and wish that you had at least learned how to do the choking procedure, that you at least learned CPR, that you at least, you know, got certified in a little first aid. So I would say now, while things are quiet, more or less, that you use this time to go get some training or reach out to us and have us come in. You know, we'll come to any community center. I mean, I can't think of a place that I haven't seen Brother Rudolph do the training and have seen it work. No matter what the space is, no matter how big or how small, we can make it happen for you. So just let us know. If you can't wait that long till you can get us there, we're okay with that. It's no big eyes, it's no little use, and it's definitely we're not trying to make a profit on this. So we want you to get the training. So I would just want to implore everyone who's listening to go out and get some more training. Well, I'm already CPR certified. Get first aid certified. I'm CPR certified and first aid certified. That's great. How much disaster preparedness training do you have? There's never too much training, and there's never enough, because the one thing that you didn't get will be the one thing that you'll need. And if you have the training, how many people in your area have you shared it with? It's just, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and it's true, that it's no good if it's only good for you. So your house got it. You got all your supplies. You got, you dug 6 feet under your home, and you got, you know, canning jars full of navy beans and peaches, and y'all can just stay locked in there for 6 months. Well, what do you do when your neighbor is scratching at your door because you didn't help them prepare too? You know, what do you do when y'all in there cooking up salmon and people smell it coming out of the house, and now you've got the Night of the Living Dead, I Am Legend movie outside your door? So teach and train those close to you. They don't have to be near and dear. Teach your neighbors. Share with them. Encourage them to go take a class, so that when the time comes, they're not standing in front of your door. Everybody can't go to Brother Rudolph's house. Everybody can't go to Brother William's house or Brother Joseph's house. You have to be able to bunker your family down in a storm. So what I'm requesting is that all of us go find a training class in your area, or call us and have us bring a training class to your area, so that you're ready when your disaster strikes. Thank you, Brother Rudolph.
Oh, you are very welcome, Sister Michelle. Thank you for all of your tireless efforts. Thank you for those late night phone calls when I get those epiphanies and I decide to not look at the clock and see what time it is, and I just reach out and call, and you, in the most humblest way, accept the call, and you never blast me out for what time it is. You just very humbly take the information and do what it is that you do. And I thank you for that.
Oh, so special. I'm
crazy to a lot. He's telling the truth.
He was in the text
or call me at the oddest hours, like, the show on Tuesday with Queen, we got to do this. I'm like, really, brother? 2 o'clock in the morning, the disaster show is on your mind, okay?
I can understand that. I do the same thing, Brother Rudolph, but, you know, you got one or two shows to worry about. Now I got seven, so I understand how that hits you at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. If you don't get it out, or you don't write it down right then, you're scared you're going to forget it. I understand. But I'm just going to say again, you and Sister Lachelle, y'all too cute. And that's all I'm going to say.
And between the two shows that he does and the places he's supposed to be doing presentations, and, you know, sending out the packages to those people and making sure that everything is in order down to the smallest detail, whether I'm physically at the location or not, I'm still responsible for making sure that that production goes off right. So anything that they miss, that's my fault. If it goes off well, all praise is due to Allah. So, you know, Brother Rudolph travels a lot during training, and I'm not always there, and sometimes no member of the team is there. He has to carry the whole training by himself. But, you know, it's my job to make sure he has every tool possible, including the PowerPoint presentation. So I love my job because when the first time I saw his presentation 5 years ago, I was like, somebody got to help this brother. This, what he's doing is so important. So when you see a hole, you feel it.
Praise be to Allah. And, yes, she came in like a whirlwind, and I do so appreciate Allah for coming in the person of Sister Lachelle Muhammad to help me out. Yes.
Praise be to Allah. Mm-hmm.
Praise be to Allah for that.
To the family that is listening, yes, you hear a lot of laughter amongst us because we love what we do.
First of all,
we love each other genuinely. We have great mutual respect for each other genuinely, all of us that work together, because each of us brings a different aspect, a different flavor to this work that we do, and because we were taught and trained to love you so unconditionally by the man who loved us, that he sacrificed his life for us and taught us how to love. So what you are experiencing from us on hearing or getting from us, this is genuine. And, yes, as the sister said, it's a love thing. And it's a love thing because this is what we were taught by our father, and we are just trying to emulate it and spread it so that it becomes contagious to the family so that we can teach each other that love and laughter are the best medicines on the planet. And it's already prescribed, but if it is administered skillfully by the nurse, then it will cure and kill whatever illness is plaguing the family, and all that you will be left with is joy and life more abundantly. And this is what we wish for the family. So, with that being said.
Yes, sir. I just want to say this, Brother Rudolph and Sister Rochelle, because maybe a lot of people don't know, but I just want to take the time to thank you and Sister Rochelle for, you know, always giving 1,000+% to the effort of educating our people in disaster preparedness, because otherwise they may not have received this information. Is certainly not information that our local news media is going to necessarily prepare us for. So I thank you for bringing it 100 every week to the listening audience. We have all learned so very much from you too. And Brother Rudolph, I know you and Brother William, you know, you all travel and you're willing to travel just to educate and our people for the sake of survival. So original salute to you both, and please, I want you all to remain encouraged and keep up the great work. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Queen. Yes, to my brother William, wherever he is.
Well, wait a minute. Y'all have a call on the phone, so hold on. Area code 718. Your mic is live.
He still got a card. He has to see the owner of the building for this. Because he was
area code 718.
And he go to school, and he's still going to the building. Black. So they didn't accomplish nothing. All they was jealous because.
Maybe they're having a conversation with somebody else. Okay, that wasn't for us. Okay.
That's
alrighty,
I remember the last time you did that. We cut in on an argument.
I mean, but they pressed one, and maybe they wanted us to hear something, but I didn't have time to listen. I don't praise this too to a lot.
Yeah, like I said, they don't know. You don't play that. You'll click them.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a witness to nothing. I ain't heard nothing. I ain't seen nothing. I don't know nothing.
Right.
I'm not coming to court. I'm not doing none of that. I ain't heard nothing. Okay? Now.
Yes, ma'am. Understood.
Yes. I mean, no, I can't do that one. Okay. All right.
No can do.
No, I don't want to know.
Yeah, that was a Home and Home song. Yeah, I can't do that.
Thank you for catching that, Brother Rudolph. I'd have been hurt if nobody caught that.
Huh?
I'd have been hurt if you hadn't caught that one. I was pitching. I was hoping you was catching.
Oh, boy.
Y'all don't know, Brother Rudolph is an undercover DJ. He knows every song ever.
Okay, well, you know, I just admitted the other day, I think it was yesterday, and I guess I'm the only black woman in America that have not seen the movie Beat Street, and I've never seen the movie Breaking. And if I tell you I got beat up on Facebook, like going into a 10-round bout with Mike Tyson. I mean, they told me they're going to take my black card. You know, they said they're going to take my black card away from me. One brother said I had 8 days to watch the movie and give him a report back.
One sister say I needed to record myself while I'm watching the movie. So, hey, I guess I'm a little bit of a nerd when all of the hip-hop movies, now I like the music, but when the movies were coming out, you know, more than likely I was somewhere looking at National Geographic or the History Channel. I'm nerdy like that, believe it or not. Don't let this thuggish, ruggish bone fool you. I am strictly a nerd. So, yeah, I've never seen Breaking or Beat Street, so.
Wow, Electric Boogaloo.
All right, well, here's a question. What about... All right. Yeah, I'm not gonna hold that against you because you said, did you at least see Crush Groove?
Crush who?
Crush Groove.
Oh no.
Yeah, we have
to
buy him for her and send it to her as a gift.
That's the story of Run DMC and Russell Simmons and you know, the early Def Jam record label and how it started, Curtis Blow and Fat Boys and all of them.
We'll send it to her as a gift
tag during
hurricane season.
I don't even know half of those people that you named, but okay.
Okay, all right. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. Since we're talking about this anyway, here's a movie list for our listeners of some movies that you may want to get and see before or during the time of the next couple of broadcasts, since we're going into hurricane season anyway. You want to get the movie and watch the movie Twister.
Yes.
That's about the storm chasers that Sister alluded to, because there are people who actually follow storms and they chase these hurricanes or tornadoes and twisters, and that's how we really get some in-depth, up-to-date information about them, because someone puts their life on the line in order to do this stuff. So, yeah, the movie Twister is a good movie. Then let's get the movie Contagion. Contagion. And Contagion stars Lawrence Fishburne, June Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Winslet, Matt Damon, and Marion, forgot that last person's name, but Contagion. Briefly, what it's about is it's about biological agent that is transmitted through food to certain people, and it shows how quickly it spreads from person to person and can become an epidemic in no time at all. And this is dealing with our food system. So let's get that movie Contagion and watch that. And then, of course, there's the movie that was taken after the book. The name of the book is The Hot Zone. The name of the movie, which has Dustin Hoffman and Cuba Gooding Jr. in it, is, what is the name of that movie? It's based off of a true story that happened in a little small town in Reston, Virginia, dealing with, biological agent that went mad. And they ended up having to quarantine an entire town. Again, the name of the movie is The Hot Zone. The name of the book, the name of the book is The Hot Zone. The name of the movie is, I forget it now. We'll put it on the website so you can see it. Just, again, it's Dustin Hoffman and Cuba Gooding Jr. But these are some movies that will help drive home the points of disaster preparedness and why it's so important to be informed, stay informed, and to be careful and to be ready. It's not about paranoia, but, to be paranoid of something is to be aware that there is a chance that something may happen. Again, we are not going off the deep end with the paranoia because we know that everything happens either by the permissive will or the active will of Almighty God, Allah. And